And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, I'm glad to tell you that we're not at war. I know that we're not at war because I think the president said we're not at war. Of course, the Secretary of State said we were at war, but then he said we weren't at war. But then the Secretary of Defense said we are at war, but then he said, no, we're engaged in military action. But then the Pentagon issued a press release talking about the war. So, are we at war?
Well, the Secretary of Defense is now known as the Secretary of War in the administration, but not officially. And then Congress didn't pass a resolution about invoking the War Powers Act.
So we're not at war.
So we're not at war.
So what do you call it when you bomb other cities, country, cities in other countries, and you shoot bullets at people and kill them and do things like that?
And people shoot back at you.
They shoot back at you, right? That what is it? What would that be called? Picnic? Picnic. No, that's not a picnic. No, I've been at picnics, not like that. All right, we don't know what that's called. But we do know who caused it. Whatever it is, right?
Yes.
The Lubavitcher Jews caused it.
The Chabad. Yes.
The Chabad. The evangelistic arm of the Lubavitcher movement.
Yes. They're only evangelizing fellow Jews. They don't proselytize to non-Jews.
Oh.
But
maybe Iranians are all secretly Jews. and this is a different form of proselytizing.
Yeah. Well, the timing of this war, non-war, was a couple of days before the Jewish holiday of Purim, which takes place in ancient Persia.
Well, I was just going to say that. That's Persian. Yeah.
It's Persian. Of course, the Ayatollah, would be the bad guy in the retelling of this, I guess.
He could have been the good guy. After all, the story is an old story.
Yeah, I'm not sure who Queen Esther is in this. Netanyahu would.
Well, I would imagine the Ayatollah's wife.
Yeah, Mrs. Ayatollah.
But they killed her. The Americans killed her. The Israelis killed her.
Killed her.
Yeah. They killed him, they killed her, they killed their daughter, and they killed their granddaughter. I don't know. That seems like war or murder.
Murder. Well, in the Book of Esther, the king's, or the Haman's family got killed, his sons. So...
this business about the Lubavitchers, who actually said that?
That was Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson said that this war, he says it's a war, it's unprovoked, the American government shouldn't be involved in it, the American nation has no stake in it, and it was all caused by the Lubavitcher Jews, right? That's Tucker Carlson. So, Tucker Carlson is just an old-style, traditional anti-Semite.
Of course, Secretary Rubio didn't help things when he said the reason that the Americans went to war is because the Israelis were going to go to war, were going to attack Iran, and then Iran would counterattack us.
Well, if it were true, he's saying that we've engaged in a war which is against international law and is against American law. So it's a criminal act on all fronts. He's guilty. He should be in jail. The president is guilty. He definitely should be in jail. Even the troops who fired the guns are guilty, because if you follow an illegal order, you're guilty of murder, not of state-sanctioned killing.
Well, they don't agree because they're trying to put Mark Kelly in jail for telling people they can't.
Well, I understand they don't agree, but you know, you don't have to be an originalist to know that if a sentence says, and the Constitution sentence does say, that the Congress has to declare war for it to be legitimate, and the Congress didn't declare war, then it's not a legitimate war. That's not controversial, is it?
It's just details.
And then to make it even worse for them, doesn't the code of the rule book, the Pentagon rule book about war, say you don't follow an illegal act, you don't follow an illegal order, you have the right not to, and the implication is you're not supposed to, and if you do, you're committing a crime. You're not covered by the exemption that being a soldier in a sanctioned activity gives you. There is a difference between killing and murder. It all has to do with whether you have the authority.
Well, we have those things, but then we have the
we have
the consequences, the other consequences of the war and its effects on the world economy, the flow of oil.
Pish tish. Now you'll say that the world is threatened with a recession, or worse yet, a depression or a breakdown in economic activity. I bet you're going to say that.
We might as well. You know, but, and don't forget, we have the other thing, the insider training on the poly markets.
Oh.
Where all of a sudden, the day before the attack started, a bunch of people took bets on the exact date that the bombing would start.
I guess they could figure things out. Right?
Well,
you're probably saying that somebody told them that because the Israelis said that the date for the attack had been set 2 weeks before, that in the intervening 2 weeks, somebody found out about it.
It's always a grift. There's always some angle where somebody on the inside makes money on these things.
Well, somebody always makes money on war,
money.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, on everything. Now, somebody who, you know, one of the other casualties of the war was Christy Noem, not directly involving the war, but I guess she was diverting attention that the boss didn't like.
I think she was blaming the boss. She was attacked for hogging the spotlight with that advertising. $200 million advertising
campaign. $200
million
of her riding off into the sunset. I mean, now she's riding off into the sunset.
She's
been a publicity hog all along.
Yeah.
Remember she went down to El Salvador?
Yeah.
And with her Rolex watch and stood outside the big jail there.
Yeah, well, she's a disgusting human being, right? I mean, in effect, she's a torturer.
Well, she killed her dog.
Yeah.
She killed a goat. Senator Tillis took her to task over that in the hearings.
Yeah, but look at how many people she sent down to that torture chamber in El Salvador. That's a torture chamber. And there she is parading around in her uniform and with her fancy watch, preening. See what I did. See what I did. I'm torturing these people. Ha, ha, ha. She ought to spend some time there.
Well, this is the kakistocracy.
Yeah.
Talk about the grift. She signed another contract for $143 million with the spouse of one of her campaign advisors or something, who had formed a company only 8 days previous
The company that got the $143 million contract was in existence exactly 8 days. Right.
And it was a no-bid contract.
It had no office. It had no employees. It had no history of any activity. And it was a no-bid contract. Right. How much do you think Christy Noem managed to keep of that $143
million?
A good chunk of it,
I would think. But but who's going to prosecute her?
Pam Bondi.
She's got problems because they, you know, they found all these memos that the Department of Justice had tried to hide, I guess. What are the 302 forms?
Mm-hmm.
That there were four of them and only one of them appeared with, you know, direct allegations against Trump with a 13-year-old. But Bondi...
Are you going to believe a 13-year-old over President Trump?
Mm.
Really? Really? Really?
Well, you got to see what else is in those 302s, if there was any follow-up to either confirm or not confirm that stuff.
There was a follow-up. They were hidden. That was the follow-up.
And now they're going to call Bondi to testify, although it's not the same. You know, they called the Clintons in, and they went for hours, and they taped it. And apparently Bondi is going to just be given a deposition with a time limit and questioning of only 5 minutes per person, and which she will no doubt... you know, filibuster every answer.
Wait a minute. I thought the Republicans were against the filibuster.
Well, it's not for a Senate vote.
Oh,
this is just the technique that they use when they're asked hard questions that they don't want to answer.
Right.
Use up the asker's time.
Right. wherever you look, it's dripping in slime. Right?
I mean, it's grifting, it's contradictions, it's incompetence. Like I keep saying,
incompetence is
saving us.
That's the point. Incompetence is the strong point. That if they were competent at this, look how bad it would get. So let me ask you this question. How do you account for the fact that Fetterman voted to allow this to go on, to allow this horror in Iran to be legitimized? The only Democrat who did that, right?
The only Democrat, I'm sorry.
Only Democrat to do that, Fetterman.
Right.
What's his excuse? Exactly.
He doesn't have an excuse. This is what he believes.
What? That we should just attack Iran? We should just attack anybody we feel like the president feels like attacking because he's mad at them. Just like he got annoyed at a conversation he had with the president of Switzerland. So he imposed 100% tariff on the country of Switzerland because she didn't respect him in the telephone call. That's what we're supposed to do. That's Fetterman's idea. Fantastic.
I don't know about the tariffs against Switzerland, but he's marches to his own drummer.
He marches to Trump's drummers, apparently.
Well,
I got an email from him saying that he managed to get $300 million for the state of Pennsylvania. I don't know that he got anything for the state of Pennsylvania. But in any case, one doesn't clean the other.
Yeah. Well, the question is, right now, the progressive Democrats are looking to challenge him in 2 years.
It's too bad that it takes 2 years. It's too bad they can't recall him.
Well,
in some states, he could be recalled, right?
Yeah, Pennsylvania doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And that would only strengthen him. A recall.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. There's a question whether he's even going to run for re-election. There's rumblings that he thinks he should run for president.
I think he should run, period.
Well,
I'm thinking where he could run to. Greenland.
You know, on a lot of votes, he's still with the Democrats, and he's repeated that he is not going to become a Republican.
But this business with Iran is fundamental. It's foundational. You can't. It's very hard to overlook that. You know, let's face it. The New Deal was supported by all the Dixiecrats, right? All the segregationists voted for the New Deal. Did that wash the Dixiecrats of their racism? No. And just the opposite. In New York State, progressive people who wanted to support Roosevelt refused to vote on the Democratic line. They organized something called the American Labor Party to vote for Roosevelt, not on the Democratic line. Because they did not want to do anything that would indicate that they had any truck with these races. So,
You know, New York's always, you know, they've had those multiple lines. They've had the
yeah.
Conservative Party.
Yeah.
Remember, Senator Buckley won on
That's
that line
right. I understand that.
when the Democrats split there. Was it? Did he beat Keating? Or at the
No,
last time?
I think Keating retired.
Or was it Keating's? Whatever. And then you had the liberal line.
That's right. They all have their history, but the point is that if you only have two parties, you really don't have a nuanced democracy. You can't, it's not possible. And that's what we have. If you have ranked choice voting is better, proportional representation is the best. So people say, well, but you'd have a lot of coalition governments. So what's wrong with that?
Have you looked at what the history of Italy or Israel lately?
Well, I know you pick up on Italy, but I don't see that Italy has gone to the dogs.
That just went to the neo-fascist the last time. And you had
Okay, but that.
Berlusconi.
But that's not a fault of the structure of the system. That's a fault of the politics of the parties. If the parties can't convince people to vote for them, that's a no structure would keep the fascists out. We have a two-party system. We got fascists in power. So, Orban is a one-party system. He may lose power.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Yeah,
Although
he's in trouble. The structure doesn't determine the content of the politics, but a system in which all kinds of points of view can be heard gives all kinds of interest groups a chance to be satisfied. But we don't have that, and therefore, you have a situation where the most powerful can get everything, and nobody else gets anything, and there's nothing you can do about it. So. I'm not sure we should have people fight for fair districting. I'm against all districting. I think they should all be, proportionally decided. Why not? If there's a million people who want the guy that want Pennsylvania to vote for to be the president, then why should it be that there's an electoral college? Why can't it be
Well,
that the
I think where you have ranked choice voting, I think there's more merit in that than all these fractionalizations. I mean, because I there's plenty of problems in like I said, in Israel and some of the European countries trying to put coalitions together. Trump did something like that when he got Bobby Kennedy to join him. Remember, Kennedy was running on an independent line. And I don't know if you'd want the libertarians to have some power.
They have all the power. How much power? How much more power than Musk had does one need? He had all the power. He restructured the government. He laid off 400,000 people. He ended God knows how many programs to the detriment for the next 20 years of the whole world, not just of the United States. That's a lot of power. He had it. One guy gave it to him, Trump, right?
That was a form of coalition building. The
Some
coalition of
coalition.
Musk was $250 million worth of campaign donations.
Yes, that's the coalition. Yes, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Someone else's money.
But
Meanwhile, we're seeing certain things. We're seeing a weakening of the Republican Party in certain respects. There's 32 current House members are not seeking re-election.
You mean Republican House members?
Republican. I saw where one of them is Daryl Issa, who used to be, you know, not that many years ago, had a very powerful position.
And who was also the richest man in the Congress.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And you haven't heard much of him. But he's probably been gerrymandered out of a seat anyway with California.
Right.
You know, what was good for the goose became good for the gander to the Democrats.
Right.
The Montana Senator Daines at the last minute pulled out, essentially doing so in a manner that he thought would prevent the Democrats from putting up a strong candidate. We'll have to see.
Well, it definitely prevented any Republican from entering the primary.
Right. Except for his choice.
His choice. He pulled out 5 minutes, 8 minutes before he pulled out his choice, put his papers in, and 2 minutes or 3 minutes later, he pulled out. So there was 5 minutes left for somebody else to come and put his papers in. Guess what? Nobody knew and nobody did.
Yeah. That could be a campaign issue come the fall in Montana, but it's been running conservative, so we'll see what happens. They're interesting.
It ought to be a campaign issue throughout the country.
Yeah.
When these guys have a chance, this is how they manipulate the law.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. They keep trying to rig elections.
Yeah.
In one way or another. Now, Texas, things started to fall apart for the Republicans.
Right.
Not only did the Democrats decide not to back Jasmine Crockett, but to go for James Tallarico, who would be the stronger, people thought would be the stronger candidate. There were a bunch of the Republicans turned away from Dan Crenshaw. They turned away from the sitting agriculture commissioner. The ag commissioner in Texas has a lot of power.
Doesn't he regulate the oil and gas industry?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a basis of that. The Republicans are going to have we knew that there was not going to be a clear winner between the sitting senator
Cornyn
and Paxton. And, you know, Cornyn, you know, had the plurality, but only by 1%.
Right.
Everybody said it was a big victory for him because they thought Paxton could be the leader.
Right.
Trump has indicated he's going to back Cornyn, but we'll see if Paxton pulls out. If Paxton doesn't pull out, then Cornyn is going to have to spend a lot of money on the primary. But it also says something about the Republicans that you have somebody as corrupt as Paxton and as dirty as Paxton, you know, pulling that kind of a vote. That people really didn't care about those things. Although Tony Gonzalez, congressman who had that affair, finally admitted, and then he decided, or they basically told him, you can't win. You better get out.
Yeah.
He's getting out. And then in North Carolina, the Democrats came alive better. They turned out three of their own who had been canoodling with the Republicans on various issues. One of the Republican state senators, almost a powerful one, almost lost. I think it's the head of the state Senate. So
have a governor's election coming up, right?
Yes, but they have a Senate election.
Senate election. The former governor, the former governor is running on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see on that. We should note that in Pennsylvania, the first poll for the governor had Josh Shapiro up 55-37, 18 points. New poll came out this week, has him up by 20 points, 48-28. Has him under 50, but that's a pretty commanding lead. 20-point lead. And not only that, the money difference is huge. He's got at least 30 in the bank, 30 million in the bank, and his opponent, Stacey Garrity, only has, I believe, $1.5 million.
How do you account? How do you account for this? Stacey Garrity polled more votes than any candidate in the history of Pennsylvania in the last election, a couple of years ago.
And I don't know why the Republicans aren't throwing tons of money at her, because they want to rough up Josh Shapiro to take him out of the running in 2028. Whatever her base seems to be, doesn't seem to be showing up in the polling.
So is it possible that between Mastroianni, who is not running, but who is also not Garrity, his people are not going toward her, and the Republican State Committee is as inept as the Democratic State Committee has been? Is that possible?
It's pretty hard to be as inept as the Democrats have been.
At least they're good at something.
Yeah. You don't know, because the Republicans made a big deal out of clearing the field for her.
Yeah.
And Mastriani made some noises about running, but I think he had a talking to behind the scenes, or he realized he couldn't raise any money, which is the big factor. She's out there alone.
Good. Because she's as bad as Mastroianni. She's the same type of Christian nationalist as Mastroianni, with the same kind of supernatural beliefs.
Yeah. And Shapiro has pretty good favorability ratings in the state. They keep trying to find little things about him, but, you know, like what's the list of contributors to the security system in his home?
That's
not a big issue. You know, everybody agrees after that guy tried to kill his family, that not just him, his whole family.
Yeah.
That people think you do whatever you need to get security.
But I want to go back to Iran. The domestic effects of this horrible war are just starting to be felt. It's one thing if he could have got this war over in 4 days, but it's not over in 4 days. It's not going to be over in 4 days. I last filled up my gas tank. I paid $3.09. I went today to fill up my gas tank. It was $3.40. There wasn't been on 1 week. What's going to happen next week?
Yeah, that's the big thing, the affordability issue, which Trump bragged about in the State of the Union, that the price of gas was coming down. He said like $1.99, made up a figure. Now, I mean, everybody sees it every day when they go by. That's the one thing. Even if they're not filling their gas up, they go by gas stations every day.
Yeah.
And they just see these prices rise.
Yeah.
There's a station I was a few weeks ago, the one I usually go to was $2.99. And then I went to $3.05. And later the same day, when I went back to fill up, it was $3.19. And today it was $3.25. The station that I go by in South Scranton that was $3.25 is up to $3.40.
You told me Sheetz is up even higher.
Yeah, there was a Sheetz in Scranton, $3.59.
And that's supposed to be a cheap gas place. Yeah.
A discount gas place. So
I think MAGA is going to have a very hard time in the next month. And American people are going to have a very hard time.
Well, the jobs came out, and, you know, it was a loss of 92,000. What was the last? The last jobs report for Joe Biden was positive. Well, positive.
Job is done. We'll see you next week.
See, at least we have that job. Okay.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.